Looking for truth, I found answers.
I thought I had it all figured out. Then I found purpose.
I was lost, but then I found a place to belong.
I was abused, but now I'm healed.
I was in chains, but now I'm set free.
I was bitter. Then I found grace.
This morning we are continuing our summer series, The Parables, and as you've seen the bumper there, and last week Pastor shared with us about the story of the soil, you remember that one? And our prayer teams all week long have been praying that God would prepare the soil. The soil is our hearts, and we've been praying that God would prepare your heart for the seed. The seed is God's word that's going forth this morning. So as that seed finds a good place in your heart, we're believing it's going to change the way we live. That is, it's going to bear fruit. It bears fruit in the way we think, the way we talk, the decisions that we make, everything that we do all day long. And so we're praying that God's going to do some good stuff in this house today. Somebody say amen. If you'll notice in your notes there, a parable is a simple story that conveys or illustrates a profound truth, okay? Jesus told stories to help us to understand and to remember spiritual principles. Stories help us because they're timeless. They reach throughout time. They're visual. They help put those mental pictures in our mind. They're simple. They help us to understand. They capture our imagination also. I think that's the reason Jesus told stories, because it helps us to imagine what it might have been like. And stories really communicate truth, and so that's what we're going to do today. So, here's my first story. Are you ready? There was a city slicker from the East Coast who had always dreamed of owning cattle. And so he had finally saved enough money to buy a big spread out in Wyoming. And his best friend flew from the East Coast out to visit him, and he asked his buddy, "So what's the name of your new ranch?" And his buddy told him, "Well, we really had a hard time coming up with something that we liked, but finally my wife and I agreed on this name, the double R, lazy L, triple horseshoe, bar 7, lucky diamond, ranch." His friend was really impressed, and he told him so. And he said, "Wow, that's an amazing name, but where are all the cows that belong on this ranch?" And the new rancher replied, "Well, we had quite a few, but none of them survived the branding." These are the jokes. Now, I want to suggest this morning that it is possible to get so caught up in living life that we actually forget what life is all about. And if we don't live intentional, then some of the most important things about life, well, they don't survive the branding. You know what I mean? That's the lesson of the parable of the talents. What is life truly about? Now, each week during this series, we've been presenting a Bible study principle. If you remember last Sunday, Pastor Wayne talked about Bible principle number one. He talked about context. Now, context is where we learn who the audience is that the author is trying to reach or who he was writing to at that time. And if we know the audience, that helps us to understand the story better. That helps us to understand the scripture. So today's Bible study principle is this: revelation. It's revelation. The reason that revelation is so important when we study the Bible is because revelation is that part that God speaks to us while we're reading. How many of you know God is still alive? Amen? He still does that. He still talks to people. And that's what revelation is. Revelation is that voice, that those nudgings, those leadings, that guidance that we receive while we are reading the Bible. So revelation's important. So what can we do to help prepare or get ready for revelation? Well, I think it's important for us to pray before we read the Bible. We ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us then and help us to make the Bible clear to us. So we ask that truth would be revealed, revelated. It would be revealed to us as you read, okay? So revelation is what God is speaking to us as we read the Bible. So we practice what we preach. Let's pray right now. Will you bow your head with me? Father, we thank you so much for your word. We do believe that it is a lamp and a light to our paths, and that, Lord, it is alive. It's able to speak to us. It separates even our motivation, our intentions, oh God. And so, Lord, we pray today as we open our hearts, we open our minds to your word, speak to us real clear. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, let's open our hearts to what Jesus is going to teach us from the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Listen to his words real close.
"For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2 talents, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
All right. Since we're talking about the parable of the talents today, I wore my passing out talents suit. You'll notice as I came in today, nobody was harmed because I was not throwing corn seed at them. So be sure and let Pastor Wayne know. If you were here last Sunday, you know what I'm talking about. But I was throwing out big money. Ha ha. Right? Big money. Big money today. Well, if you see in the parable, you'll notice that the master or the Lord of the servants is Jesus, okay? And the servants represent you and me, all right? God has given us things, and we're going to talk about that today. But as I was reading this parable, I noticed that there are 3 things that we can do with our lives, all right? Just as we get going here, 3 things we can do with our lives. First of all, you can waste it. You can waste your life, that's for sure. You can waste it on extreme entertainment. You can waste it on complaining. Now, those people go to a different church, not this one, so I know we don't have to worry about that today. But there are people who waste their lives complaining. There are also people who waste their lives focusing on, you know, just being consumed with things they can't change. How many of you know that doesn't matter? It's a waste. You can't change it. So don't waste your life consumed with that. You can definitely waste your life on being a bad steward of your time. So there are lots of ways you can waste your life. Not only can you waste your life, but you can spend it also. A little bit different. You can spend your life on your career. You can spend your life on a hobby. You might spend your life on acquiring possessions. You can definitely spend your life. But Jesus teaches that the 3rd thing is the best. You can invest your life. Jesus taught that the greatest use of your life is to invest it in things that last longer than we do. Are you following me? Jesus' parable of the talents gives us 7 principles on how to invest your life. And I believe if we'll study those today, they'll help us to make a big difference, not only in other people's lives, but winning people to Jesus, sharing our faith. They'll make a big difference for you, all right? So here's lesson number 1 from the parable of the talents, and it's called ownership. Take a look here. Ownership, that is, everything I have belongs to God. Now, it's real clear in this study, but the truth is God made it all, right? We really own nothing. You didn't come into this world with anything, right? What you have, you simply get to use for 60, 70, 80, maybe 90 years. But the bottom line is, it's God's. We just get to use it. One reason that God made man in the first place was to manage all of God's resources, manage his creation, manage what belonged to him. Now, you'll notice here in verse 14 of the parable exactly what the Bible says. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, we understand that these parables, God is helping us to understand spiritual principles. So he's saying the kingdom of heaven is like, and he's about to tell us what it's like so that we can get it. So we're connecting the truth with the experience, okay? For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. So we see here that the property didn't belong to the servants, it belonged to the master, right? It all belonged to the master. But God has entrusted some things to you. But the bottom line is, he owns everything. Say everything. You got it. All right, let's go to lesson number two. Now, lesson number two is called allocation. Allocation is this. God has given me some resources. Say, I got them. God has given you resources. And notice how, I love how the language here, it says the master delivered his goods. Man, as I was reading this passage of story and praying for revelation, God just began to show me some of the great goods he's delivered to me. Friend, can I tell you, God has delivered for you. God has delivered his goodness, his blessings, talents, abilities, your house, your family, your husband, your wife. Come on, go ahead and look at the person next to you. Say, God has delivered. Friend, God has delivered to you. He's come through and he's blessed us with some great, great resources. He's come through for you. Now, let's look at verse 15 of our parable in Matthew 25 because it helps us to see this truth. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. So I think it's important for us to understand here that the word talent is not what we use today that's used here in this verse. In fact, talent in this passage simply was a measurement of weight, all right? And it was used to measure the amount of precious metal that was being referred to. So a talent of gold would be worth more than a talent of silver. You got it? But either way, it's a very precious resource that the master allowed these servants to steward over. So the master gives five talents to one servant, two to another, and still one to another. But the principles apply to all the resources that the master has given to you and to me as well. You see, you have some gifts. You have resources that God has given you. Whether they're abilities, skills, opportunities, all of the things that God has given us, including spiritual gifts as well. Anything that God has trusted to you, all right? He's given it to us. Your children, your job, all that we have can be considered a talent or a resource. Are you following me? Now, notice in this story that the amounts differ, but everybody gets something. There's no such thing as a no-talent person. Does not exist. Everybody has at least one. Now, the Bible says in Romans 12, 6, it really captures this truth. It says we have different gifts according to the grace given us. So you are unique, right? So your parents were right. There's no one like you. God has given you gifts, talents, skills, abilities, experiences, personality traits, temperaments, all kinds of different things that make you you. There's no one like you on the face of the earth, all right? You are unique, but he did it for a purpose. You see, there are things that God has set up that only your abilities can acquire. Only your abilities can achieve. Are you following me? So it's you that God wants to use to be able to accomplish it. So here's the question. Why do we struggle with being discontent about what we can't do when God has put some things in your life and given you the gifts that you can do to be able to accomplish it? Are you with me? I believe, friends, that we need to focus on what God has called us to do. Still, we struggle at times. And sometimes it can even be funny when we see the struggle. Watch this.
On America's Got Talent, what I quickly realized was that I would have absolutely no idea what was coming out next on stage, and nor would the audience at home.
How is everybody?
What's your name, please?
Metatron. I'm what? Lord of Light.
All right.
I'm here to guide you.
Well, good luck.
My name is Metatron. I am an angel of light, to sovereign right to live the life of dreams. What's my name? The power is inside you. I'll be here to guide. Oh, is it over?
You said that the purpose of what you do is to show us the way, to show us the light. You didn't see the lights, and you lost your way.
It's nerve-wracking to be up on that stage with the audience, with those judges, you've got the exes. There's a lot at stake. People mess up a lot.
You know how they say practice makes perfect? Not so much.
God has given us some talents. America's got talent. There's no question about that. But we need to be using them for things that matter, for things that count, right? For things that are going to make a difference in people's lives. So God has allocated to you resources for a purpose, and not to be on America's Got Idol or, you know, America's Got Talent, right? Focus on your gifts. Soar with those strengths that God has given you, because when you do, all it does is glorify God. It's an expression that, hey, you know what? God enabled me to do this. God has allocated talents, and I'm using them for His glory, and it lifts up the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? So soar with your strengths. All right, there is a third lesson in our parable. Let's take a look at it. It's lesson number 3, and it's called accountability. Now, we're getting serious in these lessons. Look what this says. God expects me to use what He has given me. So God expects us to put into practice, to put into use the things that He's given us. It's explained well in verse 19 of our parable. Let's take a look at it. It says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So here's the deal. The master had made an investment, and he expected a return. God had given them things and put investments in our lives, and He looks for a return, my friend. The Bible says that one day God's going to do an account. Listen to me. God is going to do an account of the things that He's given us, an audit, so to speak. And He's going to ask us this question: what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with it? You know, we didn't choose to live in America, right? We didn't choose to get to experience the freedoms and all the great things that we enjoy as Americans. God gave us that. So, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with this thing that God has given you? Accountability can be explained this way. The greater the privilege, the greater the responsibility. You see, we'll give an account for all that God has given us. There'll be an audit one day. It's coming. Lesson number 4 in the parable of the talents is called utilization. That's this. It's wrong to bury what God gave me. Now, think about this. The first servant, he took his money and he doubled it. He got 100% return. This man was definitely a wise investor. The second servant, he took his 2 talents and he doubled it. But the point of the story really is held with this third servant, this third man. He takes his talent and he buries it. He sets on it, so to speak. He does nothing. He does not utilize what God had given to him. Now, look at verse 18, the explanation here. He says, but he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. So he put it away. So this guy was cautious and conservative. He says, I'm going to play it safe. He set on it. What was the master's reaction to what this servant did? Whoo, he was hot, right? His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. His master was ticked. He was more than a little upset about what he had done. At least you could have put it in the bank. You didn't even try. You hid it. You buried it. Now, he's talking here about the sin of inactivity, the sin of passivity. Listen to me, Christian. Many times we feel so good about ourselves because we didn't do what we shouldn't have done. But what Jesus is teaching us here is about the good things we leave undone. James says to know what is right and not do it, sin. So what I'm talking about here is a very serious matter. The point is that we cannot please God by playing it safe. Again, I'm not talking about being unwise with what God's given you, but I do believe that you'll have more regret in your life about the opportunities you passed up than the ones that you tried and failed. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, Romans says. It also says that faith is impossible to please God without it. So if everything is safe, then you don't need faith. Are you following me? God would rather have you try to serve him totally and blow it than to do nothing. I'd rather try something great for God and fail than to not try at all. Now, let's think about this for a second. Which one of these three servants would you guess would be the one most likely to set on their talents, you know, and do nothing? The guy with one, right? Why is that? Why do we just suspect that? Because our brain has been contaminated with stinking thinking. You know? Here's what we do. We think, well, I've just got one, so I'm not going to try. I'm going to let the guy with 10 do it all. I'm going to let the pros take care of this, and I'm going to hide. I'm going to sit in the corner and cover up what little bit I have. So for the people sitting in this room, and you're thinking, I have no resources. I have nothing. I came across a list just for you. These are 5 things that anybody can do. Are you ready? There's space in your outline to write them down. Just write them down right there. Find an empty space and write these down. Number 1, be on time. How many of you know anybody can be on time? Anybody can. In fact, I've got a cheat way that you can do it. When you get home this afternoon, set your clock up a few minutes and then forget that you did it. You'll always be on time. Number 2, you got to give it your best. Anybody can work hard. Anybody can give it their all. It doesn't take IQ. It doesn't take education, past experience, ability to give it your best. You can give it your all. Number 3, you can decide to have a positive attitude. It's a choice that you make, right? In fact, right now, you could take this finger and put it on both sides of your mouth and go like this. And then you can share it with people. Go ahead, look around. Some of you are experiencing breakthrough right now for the very first time. Isn't that awesome? You can choose to have a positive attitude. It's a decision you make. Now, you can choose to have a stinky attitude too, but the bottom line is it's your choice, and it takes no education, IQ, past experience, or ability. Anybody can do it. Number 4, you can be coachable. You can be teachable. You know what? Anybody can decide, I'm going to be a life learner. My entire life, I'm just going to keep on learning. I'm going to keep my heart open. I'm going to keep my mind open, and I'm going to learn my entire life. I'm going to be coachable and teachable. Can I tell you that the best way to do what you're doing has not been done yet? So keep on learning. Keep learning. Number 5, go the extra mile. Anybody can go the extra mile, right? Hey, everybody can meet expectations. But you can make a decision that, you know what, I'm going to go beyond expectation. I'm going to have an and then some attitude. I'm going to meet the expectation and then some. I'm going to lift up the standard and go higher. Anybody can do that. You can go beyond what's required. So we can all do those 5 things, no matter IQ, education, past experience, or ability, right? Right? Thank you. Let's keep going. Now, you know sometimes, though, We see dull Christians, you know? People that at one time were full of faith, but now, you know, they've lost that spark, they've lost that fizz. The Christian life is not a relationship anymore for them, it's a routine. And when Christian life becomes a routine, there's no more passion. Listen to me. The Christian life was meant to be a relationship, not a routine. But when our walk with God becomes routine, our work doesn't have a purpose anymore. Our work doesn't have a reason. And it's because of that, we lose passion then. And we're like an old Coke that's been sitting out for about a week. Flat. Yuck. Nasty. Right? And our attitude begins to stink. Now, there are 2 reasons why I think that happens, okay? Number 1, we get burned out. We've served, and given, and now we're burned out. We burn out as a result of putting so many brands on our cattle that they don't live through it. And neither do we. When we lose sight of the reason for the work, our pursuit of helping others will be empty of passion, and our attitude will start to stink. We have to keep eternity in view. How do you do that, Pastor Tim? I have to understand that while I'm helping people, I'm serving Jesus. While I'm serving Jesus, I'm helping people. Are you with me? Eternity is in view while I'm working. I have to keep hold of both of those things. If I'll do that, then I won't burn out. The second reason that Christians go flat is when we're sitting on the sidelines. We're not in the game. We're spectating. We're participating and not participating. We've buried our talent, so to speak. God gives the principle of utilization here. What he's saying is, I expect you to use what I gave you. Friends, listen, if I don't serve, it's not a casual matter with God. It's a serious matter. In fact, it's flat out wrong for you to waste your life. I hate to think of the excuses that people will give to Jesus why they didn't even try to help others. Friend, I'm telling you, those excuses will be extremely puny in the eyes of our Savior when you stand before him. Use your talents for God. Amen? Utilize them for him. Lesson number 5, and this is a good one. In fact, I've been waiting to get here all day. All right, motivation. Here's what it is. Fear keeps me from developing my resources. Now, this is an important one because oftentimes, that's why we play it safe, isn't it? Because of fear. Satan's favorite tactic to paralyze us many times as followers of Jesus is fear. Now, Satan has 3 kinds of fear that he uses, okay? First of all, self-doubt. Here's what self-doubt sounds like in our minds. I could never do that. I am not qualified, right? It's that fear of failure. We can't let fear get in our way, right? But it's really explained well in this parable. In verse 25 of chapter 25, let's look at it. It says, I was, come on, what's wrong? You scared or something? Read it out loud. I was, yeah, I was afraid and went and hid. So fear led to my hiding. I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. All right? We can't let fear control us. Don't have self-doubt. Put your faith in God. Amen? Not only does the enemy use self-doubt, but he also uses self-pity. Ouch, this is a nasty one. Self-pity. Here's what it sounds like. Here's the voice of self-pity. I've failed in the past so many times. I made an attempt at one time to get involved for God, to get involved in ministry or service or volunteer, but I got burned. Somebody hurt me. So I'm never going to try again. Now think about that. That's like saying, you know, I went to church, somebody hurt me, so I'm never going back to a church ever, ever again in my life. Now think about that. Does that make sense? Not at all. That's like saying, well, I'll just be honest with you. Can I just be vulnerable for a second? I have eaten bad food before. I have. But guess what? As you can see, I still eat. Are you with me? We would never consider that kind of thought process about food, but yet we would spiritually. God have mercy on us. Don't let the enemy paralyze you with this fear of self-pity. There are 2 ways to respond to pain and failure, all right? And great illustration is in the Bible with 2 guys. One of them's name was Judas. One of them's name was Peter. Now, you remember, they both committed the same sin. They both denied Jesus Christ. All right? Judas let it get to him. He got a guilt trip. He became depressed. He became full of self-pity, and he gave up. And he committed suicide because he blew it. Now, Peter, on the other hand, what did he do after he denied Christ 3 times? Well, the Bible says he wept bitterly, but then he went to God and asked for forgiveness, and he was sorry, and he picked himself up. 50 days later, this same Peter stood in front of thousands of people, proclaimed Jesus Christ as the Messiah, and 3,000 people committed their lives to be followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. He went from his greatest failure to his greatest success because he refused to let self-pity control him. Refused. And you can too. The third fear that the enemy plagues us with is self-consciousness. Here's the voice of self-consciousness. What will other people think? Well, what would other people think? Proverbs 29:25 says that the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man brings a snare. You see, fear is a trap. We excuse ourselves from ministry by pointing to people who might have more visible gifts or more visible abilities, and we say, let them do it, God. Let them do it. And we fail to engage in what God's called us to do. Pastor Rick Warren, the pastor of Saddleback Church in California, has a great insight into people using excuses for instead of serving God. It's really powerful. Now listen to the first statement. I have a phrase when it comes to ministry. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly. Now hold steady. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Stay with me because it's not over. I hate the phrase, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. That cuts out about 95% of us. That means that the only people who should be doing anything are the people who are tops in the field. If you can't do it well, don't do it. That's a stupid statement. The same is true of ministry. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing poorly. What counts is the effort. Isn't that powerful? It releases you to do something. Fail or succeed, I'm trying to the glory of God. Amen? You say, now, Pastor Tim, that doesn't really, that's, well, I beg to differ with you. There's a couple of names that you'll recognize of guys who had this attitude that Pastor Rick talks about. The first one is named Thomas Edison. You know Thomas Edison? Now, Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, right? In the first service, I had been using my $100 hanky so much, I gave Ben Franklin the credit for inventing the light bulb. God bless Ben, all right? Here's $100 for somebody. God bless you. Don't say I never gave you anything. All right. Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Guess how many times it took him? 1,000 times. In fact, he had failed 999 times, and somebody asked old Tom, how did it feel to fail 999 times? Guess what Tom's response was? Awesome. He said, fail? I never failed, not even once. It only took me 1,000 steps to invent the light bulb. Friend, we got to have that kind of attitude, right? We got to have that kind of attitude. How about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Some of you NBA fans might get on this one. You heard of Kareem? Did you know Kareem is the number one all-time scorer ever in the National Basketball Association? Number one ever. Over 38,000 points Kareem has scored. He's number one on the list. But guess what? Mr. Abdul-Jabbar is on another list. He's number five on the all-time missed shots list. Number five. He's missed almost 13,000 shots. But guess what? Obviously, he didn't let that stop him. He became number one on the high score list. Amen? So here's the deal. I have a question for you. What are you asking yourself? What kind of attitude do you have? Do you say in your mind, oh, if I shoot, I might miss? Or do you say, if I don't shoot, I can't score? Friend, listen to me. Don't let fear hold you back. God has given you gifts for a purpose and a plan. Amen? Let's use them for the Lord. Somebody say amen. All right, good. Just making sure you're still with me. Now look at this in verse 24 because it continues this thing. Fear can cause us to make excuses for doing nothing and we can't be held back in it. But let's look at it here in Matthew 25. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Get this. This guy was so used to being scared, he actually prepared a speech ahead of time. Right? He's got a speech, man. He's ready to tell them, hey, listen, here's the deal. You know, I knew you were a tough guy. And the reason why I didn't make any profit is your fault. Because you're mean. I blame you, master. I pass the buck to you. Friend, fear will control you if you let it. But God didn't give fear to you. So I want to challenge you here in just a few minutes. Will you leave your fear at the altar? Will you leave your fear here and walk out of here bold and ready to receive Jesus? Amen. Lesson number six from this parable is called application. Here's application. If I don't use it, I lose it. That's what we're talking about here. Now, this principle is true of anything in your life, whether it's talking about time, money, energy, talent, your abilities, whatever those things are. If you don't use it, you lose it. The master says here in verse 28, let's take a look. The master says, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. Wah, that doesn't seem very fair. Wow, the guy had one, he took that from him. You know, it's the rich get richer and the talented get more talented, right? But it is fair, because the truth is all of the talents belonged to the master. They're his, right? God has the right to take away anything that we don't use for him. If I don't use it, I am forfeiting it to him. All right? Listen, and it's a universal law, really, right? If I don't use my muscles, I lose my muscles. If I don't use my mind, it becomes dull. I lose it. If I don't use the opportunities that God's given me, whether it's in business or sports or education or whatever it may be, those opportunities are lost. If I don't practice my talent, I lose my talent. Use it or lose it. So, I want to challenge you. Start today. Whatever you've been given by God, start using it for him. If you need more energy, use that energy for God and watch what happens. You see, the Old Testament scripture says that little is much when God is in it. I believe that the problem with some of the talent is God's just not in it. Remember the talent we saw on the screen? God wasn't in it. Friend, if you'll let God invite God in it, it will become much. So if you need more time, give God your time. If you need more money, give God your money. If you need more talent, give your talent to God and watch him multiply it, just like he did the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. You got to put it in the master's hands if you want it to multiply. It will stay the same in your hands every time, but when you give it to God, watch what he does. He'll cause it to grow. Amen? Lesson number 7, and this is the last one. It's called compensation. If I use my resources, I'm going to be rewarded. This is so cool, because in the end, we'll be able to say it was worth it all, right? So compensation is what's going to happen. Let's look in verse 21, because the rewards of serving are outlined in this passage of scripture. He says, the Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." So cool. God promises 3 rewards in this passage of scripture. The first one is affirmation. Now, if you've read the 5 love languages, you understand what, you know, that love bank and what it is, but man, I am positive affirmation. Somebody says the right words, boom, I'm there. That places value on me. And that is exactly what happened here. Because of that, I can't think of anything greater. When I stand before my Savior, I stand before my Master, Jesus, and he says, "Son, well done. Tim, you weren't perfect, but you tried. Well done, Tim. I'm proud of you. Well done." Friend, listen to me. I want to challenge you today. If you want to receive affirmation in that day when you stand before Jesus, put your talents to work for him. And the Bible says you'll get a reward. The first one is affirmation. The second one, promotion. Get this. The master says, because you were faithful with little, I'm going to give you more. You know what the truth is? I believe that the Father's heart is always to give us more. Friend, he wants to bless you abundantly. He wants to blow your socks off. He wants to give you more than you can handle. He wants to give you more than you can store up, the Bible says. Well, then what's wrong, Pastor Tim? How come I'm sitting over here, little old me in the corner? Well, the Bible says you have to be faithful with what he's already given you. And then promotion happens. Then the abundance is released. Are you following me? Then the promotion begins to happen. So the reward is promotion. You get more. And then 3, celebration. So awesome. How many of you love to have a good time? So does God. God loves to have a good time. The Bible says when people get saved, all heaven has a party. Isn't that cool? Friend, look at this. He wants to celebrate you. Look at the last thing he says. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You know who the happiest people are? People doing something bigger than them. People who are investing their lives in causes that matter. They're the happiest people on the face of the earth. Why? Because they're entering into the joy of their Lord. God gives us affirmation, promotion, and celebration as a reward when we put our talents to use in his kingdom. When God does an audit of your life, and it's coming, what's it going to be like? When he asks you, what did you do with what I gave you? Will it be a profit or will it be a loss? I pray that you're not living for yourself, friend. I pray that you're not wasting your life, you're not spending your life, that today you are investing it. No waste, no spend, you are investing your life. The wisest investment that you could ever make is by saying to God today, I want to make the rest of my life the best of my life. I want the latter part of my life to be greater than the former. Isn't that the promise that God made to Job after all the mess of his life? God said, Job, the latter will be greater than the former. Friend, I want the rest of your life to be the best of your life, just like it was for Job. But I have to tell you today, the parable of the talents demands a response. Jesus is the master, and we're the servants. He's given some things to you, and he's calling on you to use them for his glory. What does investing your life look like? How do you even start investing your life? Well, I've put some action points in that outline, and I want to encourage you, when you leave today, stop by the kiosks out in the hub, volunteer to get involved and honor our heroes and the ministries here at Grace. But first of all, I want to challenge you to stop by the Next Steps kiosk and invest in reading the Word. Get that one-year Bible and start reading the Bible every day. And let it grow in your life and change the person that you are. I believe that God wants us to show action today and be intentional with our lives. And so if you'll be patient with me for just the next few minutes, we're going to make some decisions together. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me all across this place? The worship team's coming, and we're going to worship again here in just a minute. But there are three groups of people in this room that I really want to talk to. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you'd be patient with me, just these closing few minutes together. The first group of people are sitting in this room right now, and you're saying, you know what, Pastor Tim? I struggled to follow Jesus because I'm following the circumstances of my life. Every morning I get up and I'm paralyzed, I'm locked in, I'm almost held in bondage by the junk of my day. Friend, I'm telling you, if you'll set your eyes on Jesus, he will lead you through the day in spite of the circumstances. Friend, you are way too valuable to be a victim of circumstances. You are way too valuable. You mean too much to God to end up somewhere else besides heaven with him. So if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Tim, would you pray for me? I want to commit to follow Christ. There may be somebody in this room at one time you followed Jesus, but today you know that you have left your purpose. You are not following Jesus. Today's the day to get it right. Today I want to pray for you. Would you say with me, Pastor Tim, pray for me. I want to commit to follow Christ. Will you lift up your hand real high up in the stadium, down on the main floor? God bless you, sir. One, two, three. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, ma'am. Hands are going up all over this place. Praise God. Amen. We're going to pray for you today. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you, young lady. Praise God. Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. You can put your hands down. The second group of people that are sitting in this room that I want to talk to just for a minute are people who have a desire to follow Jesus, but everyday fear comes on you like a weight. Fear pours into your mind and those thoughts that we talked about, whether it's self-doubt or self-pity or self-consciousness, paralyze you. And they keep you from moving forward and trying to serve others and attempting to meet other people's needs. Fear whispers lies into your mind and it holds you captive. Today, I believe that God has brought us together not only to address that fear, but to help you to overcome it. If you're here today and heads are bowed and eyes are closed across this room, you'd say, Pastor Tim, will you pray for me that God would help me get rid of this fear so that I can move forward and be a great, great man or woman of God, a great servant of the Lord? Will you slip up your hand real high? God bless you. Hands are already going up. God bless you. Amen. Up in the stadium seating, God bless you, young man. God bless you. hold it up real high. I'm addressing the fear, and I'm going to overcome it today with God's help. Amen. Amen. You can put your hands down. God bless you. Several hands. The final group that I want to talk to today as we close, just before we pray. There are people here, and because of experiences of the past, maybe you were hurt in a church. Maybe someone did something or maybe left something undone that hurt you and discouraged you, and now you refuse. You refuse to get involved and to connect. You've left growth. You've left maturity. You've left developing. You've decided that I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to bury what God gave me. I'm going to put it so deep in myself that no one will be able to hurt me anymore. Friend, God loves you and He cares about you. And the Father's heart is reaching out to you this morning saying, if you'll open up again, I'll heal you. I'll restore you. And I'll put that thing to use. And I'll reward you. I'll affirm you. I'll reward you. I'll compensate you. I'll give you more. I'll promote you. If you'll open up your heart again and let God touch you and begin to use your gifts for the kingdom. If you're here today and say, Pastor Tim, will you pray for me? That is so me. My accounts are locked up because I've let things in the past discourage me and hold me back. I want to pray for you today. Will you slip up your hand down on the main floor or up in the stadium? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yeah, hands are going up all over. God bless you, young lady. Ma'am, thank you up in the stadium. Thank you. I'm grateful that the presence of God is here today. Will you stand with me all over this room? In just a moment, we're going to invite those that raise their hands to come, and small group leaders and pastors are going to join their faith with yours, and we're going to pray. But just before we do, you know what? I can't think of a greater experience than I stand before Jesus Christ, and I look at Him eye to eye, and He says, you know, I remember June the 12th. I know things before were a little fuzzy, but on that day, you made a decision to use your life for me, to make your gifts and your talents and what I gave you count. And because you did, people have changed, lives have changed. Look at this line behind you. You brought these people with you to heaven because of the gifts that you used for my glory. Friend, God wants to use your gifts to bring other people to Jesus. You are too valuable to Him for you to sit and not participate. Today's the day. I want Jesus to be able to look you in the eye and say, son, daughter, well done, good and faithful servant. And when those words leave His mouth, these words will be able to leave your mouth. It was worth it. 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 If you're here today and you raised your hand for any of those three groups, we want to pray with you. Will you give us just a few minutes to join our faith with yours? We're going to believe God that today, that commitment to follow Jesus is going to stick. It's going to be yours today. Jesus will be yours. You'll be His. Amen? Secondly, we're believing that fear is going to fall off of you as you walk down the aisles and find Jesus at these altars. Today, we believe God's going to take those gifts, unlock them, and begin to use them for His glory. Amen? If you raise your hand, will you step out? There'll be leaders that will come and meet you here and begin to pray. The worship team's going to begin to sing. As they do, step out, up in the stadium seating, down on the main floor. You come.